half dozen men in patched woolen coats and broken-down boots hunkered around the big kitchen table, and they dragged their caps from their heads when they saw William. Ruth was lying across the laid-out body, keening and crying, and Hannah leaned against the wall in the far corner, her apron over her mouth.
"Get back. Let me see," said William.
The men fell away, looking sideways at each other.
"Who found her?"
"It were me,"
said one of the men. He wore a grisly beard, and his eyes squinted as though he was standing in full sun.
"I come across her whilst I was gathering wood. Some pigs or foxes been at her, be my judgment. God rest her."
He crossed himself, then tried to scrub it out on his chest.
"Begging your pardon, master. I'm reformed as any Englishman."
"You had better be,"
William said. He pulled at Ruth's sleeve, but she hung over Joan and would not be moved. Catherine gentled her husband aside.
"Ruth, come away and let me look," said Catherine.
She bent to speak into the girl's ear.
"We must see what has happened here."
Ruth flung herself up. Her apron was spotted with blood and filth, and her hair had come loose from her coif.
"I would tell you what happened. Some man has got at her. She's ruined, and he has left her like a bitch in the road. She is murdered for being what God made her, and your king couldn't have let her be."
Her silky yellow hair, wild and haloed around her red face.
"It were one of the king's rogues. I'll say so right out loud."
The men had gathered backward into a tight band by the back door. William's left eyelid quivered, and Catherine stepped between him and Ruth.
"You speak out of turn, Ruth. This is your grief speaking, not your mind. Leave this place. The sight infects you."
She was taller than Ruth by several inches, and she steered the woman toward Hannah.
"Will you take her to the chapel? It would do her good."
Hannah, with a swift nod, seized Ruth's arm and marched her away. William was bent over Joan.
"She has fallen along her way and knocked herself senseless. She has succumbed to the cold."
Joan was frozen, even thinner in death, and her narrow fingers had gone black at the tips. Her nose was ashy, and something had chewed away the end of it, along with a strip of her cheek, so that the jawbone and the roots of two teeth showed through in one place. Catherine pulled the neckline of the dirty shift down. Joan's throat was dark and mottled.
"See there!"
Catherine twisted the girl's neck, and the head flopped to the side. Her hair was matted to the back of her skull with blood. Catherine looked up at the knot of men.
"Was she against a stone?"
There was no answer. The men were staring.
"I say, was she found upon a stone?"
The wood-gatherer remained silent, and a tall, sandy-haired young man stepped forward.
"I was with Sam here, and I saw no stone. The lady was under some dirt, covered with sticks. We was breaking 'em up for bundling when we seen her. Hand laying right out there. Face, too. Think something tried to drag her out, but she's too heavy for it, and it leaves her. Chawed some, you see. Hands black as the dirt she laid in. No, ma'am, no rock. Not that I seen. Whatever done that, I wager, was moving faster than a stone.